Your Instagram is terrible, but we love you anyway. We all have those friends we love in real life, but their online personality sucks. Whether it's thousands of the same old selfies, tinfoil hat fear fantasies, or endless promotions to shows you have no way of attending, their social media is chock full of not-so-tasty nuts. Are we the monsters we fear in others?
Today, comedian Cody Melcher joins us to take a deeper look at why we're all sharing such embarrassing stuff about ourselves on the internet, and why celebrities come across as fascist dictators when all they want to do is give out good advice to their fans.
Plus, Katy Perry spills the tea, finally, on her feud with Taylor Swift.
Star Wars goes gay for a little publicity.
Claw machines with kittens in China.
And Pittsburgh Pride gets taken over by a right-wing, pro-fracking, anti-gay Republican corporation.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you are listening to Feast of Fun because for the past 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. Won't you take a moment now to ensure that Feast of Fun is around for the future? Visit feastoffun.com/plus and access all 13 years of amazing shows.
Hello.
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 Hi. Are we on?
Christian Mingle? This is on. Yes.
Farmer's Almanac?
Farmers only.
Is this your imitation of T.S. Madison?
22 inches.
Okay, let's clarify here.
Inch.
Is it on? Bitch, is this on? What's going on? Facebook land, Twitter land, Instagram land, all the lands across the land. Christian Mingles, this is your big dick bitch gal. T.S. Madison, all 22 inches coming to you loud, live, and in color.
Well, your mouth is going, so this thing must be on, right?
That was just impressive. That was good. And
she opens up almost every video with that. So yeah. If you don't know it by now, I don't know. And Fausto's good with music and lyrics and all that kind of stuff. He can listen to a song a couple of times and know it.
That was impressive.
Whereas me, it's like I'll have to listen to things 1,000 times and I still don't know my words. I would be like Valentina in that Lip Sync Your Life channel. I'd be like, no, I want to keep it on.
Oh my God. Did you see what I posted on the Facebook groups? Feast of Fun.
What's that?
It was a Carrie Bradshaw. As I watched Valentina sashay away, I couldn't help but wonder, was I refusing to remove my mask too?
I don't think anybody would ever accuse you of keeping a mask on, Fausto. You seem to reveal most everything.
I'm a little too much, right?
A little too much.
Which almost makes it more suspicious.
Yeah. Because then we're like, if you're revealing this much, what are you really hiding?
What's the secret?
Yeah. So am I just like delusional in thinking that my privacy is just... it exists at all, that all you guys are know all the shit that I'm up to, and that I'm like, no one really knows the real me, and they're all like, we know what the real you is.
Well, it's like 1984 with everybody like spying on each other, but you're actually spying on your own self and putting it out there.
And this is what we talk about social media and the content, right? And so there are a lot of opinion pieces saying, you know, I really like this person in real life, you know, outside of the internet. But once I started following them on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all that stuff, I hate them.
Well, and it's hard sometimes to reconcile the two things. You're just like, you know, I met this person. They were wonderful. We've hung out. We've been friends for years. But now I just look at this social media and everything that they do is so crafted and it's so overly sentimental. And you're just kind of like, what's going on here? This is not the person I really know. So it's kind of, how do you marry those two different people? And like, which one's the real one? Which one is the real person? Is it this person that just acts like everything's perfect in their life? Or is the person you can just hang out and have a cup of coffee with or a beer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess like everybody's manufacturing to some extent in all different aspects. I feel like it could be both. The person's the same person. It's just that's a different facet of their life. But I don't think a lot of people are on social media being completely honest about every single thing that's going on. Right. You know,
and most of they've done like scientific studies too about people that like post a lot about their relationships online. And like the more you post about how much you love this person and post photos of you guys together holding hands, walking down the beach in the sunlight and stuff like that, the more insecure you are about your relationship.
But you and I post, you know, when we got married and we posted the marriage
certificate
on Facebook, it is the number one thing. We've like 3,000 upvotes or something, and it's the only thing we've ever done in our entire lives besides, you know, our ability to catch STIs that went viral.
I think on your Facebook page is the most viral thing, but on my Facebook page, I think it's a picture with me and Jesse the dog.
And which relationship are you more insecure about?
Listen, they're the ones that liked it. No, I'm just kidding. I think maybe mine is. I'm just a little dig there. But it's also, that's an authentic moment. I'm not trying to whitewash anything. I'm just trying to say, hey, listen, it's been a long road and we're finally here after all this time.
Right.
Because, we've been together since 1999 and like marriage equality just became legal in the state of Illinois that year. So, and it's like, it's something Fausto and I have actually worked for
it's a life post. I mean, that's an important life post. Yeah. That's not like, oh, look, we made scrambled eggs naked together. That's not, which, if you do,
that's
whatever.
That's a great idea. Will you take the photo for us?
Sure. As long as
you
it's
have
tasteful.
To be naked
as long
too.
As it's tasteful. We'll talk about why I have to be naked.
Cody, what is the most popular content you've ever shared on social media? Do you even know, or is there a way of finding it?
Off the top of my head, it would probably be I posted this really saccharine thing, but I thought it was super important. And I was also like, I was a little humble braggy about it to some extent, just because it did feel really nice to have that in my career, especially I need those moments. But I also was having a lot of fights in the Chicago comedy community about this, and so I wanted to post about it. But basically, I opened for a comedian in the suburbs of Chicago, and
you can't say the name.
I can't remember the name of the suburb off the top of my head, actually.
Or the comedian.
It was Jamie Campbell. But
the guy who used to be he came on our podcast before. He was a local guy.
He lived.
Where is he?
He went out to LA, and now he's in Missouri, I believe.
Okay.
He's a friend of mine. I was opening for him. But what happened was, it was Aurora. An audience member came up to me at the bar after the show and was talking to me about being gay and from Texas and all that. And she was telling me that her husband, this was their first night out after they had their baby. And he had always kind of said that if the kid turned out to be gay, he wouldn't know how he'd feel about that. He wasn't sure if he could be supportive. Mm-hmm. And she told me that during my set, he was enjoying me so much, she turned to him and said, if that was our son, would you be proud of him? And he was like, you know what, I wasn't sure if I would be, but I would be.
Aww.
And so she was thanking, she started crying, and she was like thanking me for affecting her husband's views on gay people. So
you know, Cody, if my fruity son grows up to be a faggot like you, it's all right by me.
I mean, it was, small steps. It wasn't, the best thing in the world, I didn't make a kid come out, but
people reacted to it. They
really
but
I was, I posted it because my point was this is why we need varieties of voices in entertainment and in comedy and in life, because if this guy only saw straight dudes for the rest of his fucking life, then that doesn't mean it doesn't help the world.
Right.
So I posted that, and that got a bunch. So I think that's off the top of my head the most shared thing. That and a joke I made on Twitter once that Mara Wilson retweeted, and then it got a huge boost off of it, which was about buying pie and working out.
Real sides
of the spectrum.
Pies and lattes equal Pilates?
No, but I love that. It's my pinned tweet right now because it was doing well. It's me works out every day to try to lose weight. Also me will not stop buying pie. That was it. That's very simple.
It's true. Sometimes it's a cycle. You're like, I worked out today. Yep. I can eat a whole pie.
Oh, no, it was totally true.
The pies and lattes equals Pilates t-shirt is available at our store, feastoffun.com. Oh, you know where to go.
/ store.
Ding!
And just come to my place for pie if you just want a pie.
What's a good pie? Now?
I like French silk pie, chocolate French silk.
Oh, no.
That's me.
Well, I haven't had one of those in a long time. I remember once, because that's the chocolate pie and has kind of like a meringue on top, right?
Like cream,
Basically, you're eating a bowl of pudding with graham crackers on the bottom. Mm-hmm.
And I don't see what your complaint is.
I went to a diner when I was in high school, and I had a slice of that pie.
Yeah.
And I was like, this tastes a little funny. And I was just like, what's going on? So I kind of picked up the meringue and picked it up from the rest of the pie. And in between the meringue layer and the chocolate layer was just mold. It was just disgusting.
Oh,
no. And I was like, excuse me. And she's just like, sorry.
Oh, no.
Careful of your pies out there. So social media. Back to the social media.
No, we could spend the whole hour talking about moldy pie.
I'm into it.
What's the moldiest thing you ever tolerate?
I can't. Well, probably bread. I have. I'm allergic to mold, so I have to be very careful about mold.
Oh, really?
It's the only allergy I have.
Oh, wow.
Is mold and distrustful people.
So do you guys have friends? Back to the topic. I have a friend.
Who, I do have some friends.
And this is an intervention here for each other. You know, that post a lot of shit on their social media and you're just like, what the hell is going on over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. I do have a friend that complains a lot about their life on, like, they do the opposite of what most people do on social media, which is where, like, most people post like all the positive stuff about their life. And so you look at them and you go, wow, they have no problems. Mm-hmm. This friend posts only bad stuff that's going on. But it's a little awkward for everybody else because it's like, I don't, especially back before you could only like, it was like, I don't know what to do in this situation. Like, should I be helping this person? Like,
call the authorities?
Well, like, sometimes it gets to a point where, like, should I go check up on them? Or, like, should I contact someone?
Need a safety check?
Yeah, and it's just weird. It puts everybody in a weird space. One time their grandmother died, and they posted about it with a sad face emoticon. Like, rest in peace, grandma, sad face emoticon. It's like, and that was before you could do anything other than like it. So it was like, I don't know.
You just like it. You like it because you, like, recognize if that's important.
That's what I usually do.
But you know what I have started doing, though, is, like, people that post about, like, deaths in their family, and I don't really know this person, then I just unfollow them.
Yeah. I mean, I've been followed,
like, I don't know you, and, like, you know, that kind of thing. Or if
it's too much intimacy.
Yeah, it's too much intimacy. And I just don't know them. That's the other thing, too. So it's like, I don't, you know, they just follow. But also, too, the thing that I like to unfollow is, like, when people just complain all the time about things, or if they, especially if I see something about them being at the DMV, I'm just like, instant unfollow. If you're complaining about the DMV, we're done.
I've honestly unfollowed almost everyone on Facebook except for, like, my closest friends, guys I think are hot, and pages. So, like, my Facebook has almost turned into, like, a Tumblr of just like random pages that I've liked.
Why are we posting stuff on social media in the first place? Especially for people, like, why do you think you're doing it, and why do you think other people are doing it? Because at this point, it seems like it's something we're doing, but we forgot why.
Half of the time I'm doing it is for work.
To promote
shows,
to get people to come see you.
Yes, to be, and inside of that, I think wrapped inside of that is also to let other people in my business know I'm working. That's a lot of it too. I'll be really I'm really aware of the fact that I am a lot of the time posting to make it clear to other comedians that I am performing, so they don't think I'm not doing that.
Right. Like, because they have to know that you're still in the business.
I'm a booked person. Yeah, I'm a booked person. I'm pimping the gig and reminding them that I
exist. Look at me. I'm working. I got jobs.
And then on the other half, is half of that is trying to actually educate people on politics and rhetoric and stuff like that because I like doing that. And then the other half of that half is just quiet, desperate cries out of loneliness into the ether, hoping people will recognize me as a human being and respond to me in that. Yeah. Yeah. Because I spend a lot of time alone. So, like, I'll sometimes...
Does it make you feel better to cry out for help on social media? Does it accomplish anything?
It's like sometimes, like, when you go to therapy and you just want to talk about what's going on, you don't need to, like, really get into it. You just need to, like, explode some stuff, or, like, you just want to text somebody, like, this is what I'm mad about. Yeah. Like, so sometimes it's just, I just need to, like, put it out there and not bottle it up. I also do a thing very similar where it's like, what I call public suicide watch, where it's like, if I'm feeling really, really depressed, I will just, like, go to a public place, even if it's a bar, just so that I'm not home alone, just delving further into it. So similarly, I'll just sometimes post about being sad or upset, just to hope maybe somebody will come talk to me, just put it out there, even if nobody talks to me, just that I'm not sitting on it. I don't know. I'm probably crazy. I'm definitely crazy. But, you know.
Mark, why do you post stuff on social media?
Well, I usually post things that I try and share things that I think are kind of funny or interesting, or just like pictures of Jesse, things that will entertain, or I'll share the podcast.
So you're basically like your grandma sending you, like, here's 10 interesting, you know, stickers that I found on, you know, MySpace. But now it's 2017. And
Mark is just the George Takei of Chicago.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, because George Takei does is just post fun articles.
Is George Takei getting gigs? Is he making money because he posts things that go viral on social media?
I'm pretty sure he's making money off of doing that, yeah.
Who's paying, and how does that even work?
I know he has done sponsored stuff before.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, to me, the reason I started posting things on the internet in the first place was just to reach out to people, to start a conversation, and sort of learn from them mm-hmm. in the way that they respond to the things that I post out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've noticed that the more I just post links to our podcasts, the less response I have.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so what I've started doing is just kind of like, if we had a really strong idea or something that I thought was really funny, like, you know, like I thought the idea of RuPaul having a parrot, you know how people give people pets?
Yeah.
And then you're stuck with that pet.
Yes.
If someone gave RuPaul a parrot, like somebody at RuPaul really cares about, like his husband George said, you know, yeah. Rue, you're a little lonely, I'm gonna get you a parrot. And this parrot sits on RuPaul's shoulder mm-hmm. and throughout the taping of Drag Race, it's picking up on everything that RuPaul, because RuPaul says everything like 5 or 6 times.
Yes.
So when RuPaul goes home and she's trying to unwind, the parrot's like taunting her, going like, it's time to lip sync for your life. And may the best woman win.
I bring in my girls.
Bring in my girls. He's like, shut up.
I have a follow up question. Does the parrot also have a giant hat?
No, it's just a parrot,
though.
I think they should both. Hat.
They should have matching giant hats.
How about a wig?
That works too. I think when RuPaul is in boy wearing the big hat in the workroom, I think then the parrot should have a
like
big hat.
The parrot should have like a black lady at church hat.
Yeah, or just like RuPaul always wears that like the giant like Pharrell type hat all the time.
Yeah, so the parrot should have a matching hat.
Yeah, and then
it's
and
like
then
a mini
the,
me.
Yeah, and then on the runway, yeah. matching wig.
Okay,
it's kind of like Jafar and the Iago? Parrot Iago.
Yeah, yeah, Gilbert the parrot Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried. I think that would be fun. That would be if they want to like improve Drag Race for VH1 audiences, they would bring it. A sassy talking animal.
They can also do skateboard tricks. You gotta get that in there too.
But I think with social media, it's like sometimes I get concerned about the mental well-being of my friends, mm-hmm. or sometimes it's interesting because you learn about somebody.
Yeah,
you know, like somebody who posts a lot of selfies mm-hmm. over and over again. And I really talked about this with Ian Bernardo, mm-hmm. who's a friend of mine.
You might never recognize him from American Idol. He sang Gloria, and he was also on
Millionaire Matchmaker.
And So You Think You Can Dance. And he's been on this podcast a couple of times.
Wow. He's hilarious. And I follow him on social media because every now and then he just puts a gem out there, you know, that makes you laugh. Same goes for Lady Bunny, right? But Ian Bernardo also posts
on Instagram, right?
On Instagram mostly, and he shares it with his Facebook, the same expression in the same selfie every single day,
but just a different location,
slightly different location. Yeah. Maybe
apartment,
it's in
on the street somewhere, but like usually just a very uninteresting location,
right?
And also just kind of like the same expression. It's just like one of the same selfies after another.
I don't know if this is maybe part of some long term.
Like,
well, I'm fascinated by it.
I unfollowed the Instagram because I was just like, I can't know.
Well, because to me, it becomes like a performance art piece. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to film myself with the same expression every single day for years and mm-hmm. years and years. And then I'm going to turn it into some animated thing so you can see my face age.
Yeah.
And then maybe one day he'll smile and you'll be like, you're so bored by it, by the fact that he actually does something eventually. You're just like, oh my God, something exciting happened. He smiled.
And that is the secret to performance art.
Is that what it is? Yes. Don't do anything.
I did
until
a similar,
something, simple things become exciting.
I did a similar thing where I was posting pictures of my groceries for a while on my Instagram.
Why, Cody? Why?
I don't know, because I wanted to, because I'm a human being and I'm allowed to have feelings. And so I did it, and I wanted it because it's mine and I wanted to. But I ended up just creating an Instagram account where I just post my groceries. It's called Single Gay Groceries, so that I would stop posting it on mine, because I started noticing that my Instagram was like becoming 50% pictures of grocery baskets.
Oh,
and so
wow.
Now that has kind of become a performance art thing to some extent, where it's like I'm literally just mm-hmm. I try to angle the basket the same direction every time, and so it's just like this weird evolving, ever changing like basket.
You know, it could be a good concept. You might be able to get some of those big brand to be like, hey, we want to sponsor an Instagram post, and would you put this in your basket?
That was the long con hope was that like a grocery store would pay me money or something. I haven't been keeping up with it well enough and really working on it enough to really do that, but I try to keep it honest, except for like holidays. I'll do a joke when, like, for St. Patrick's Day, it was filled with Jameson bottles and a Lean Cuisine or something, and so it was like that kind of stuff. But yeah, but other than that, it's usually pretty much exactly my basket. But yeah, I so one thing I the guy I'm currently dating right now, what he does is on Twitter, he posts like about his day, like he'll update about his day all the time on Twitter. But that's how I end up finding out most of about his day. So we've had like we've had a couple of fights, not fights, but like conversations about like, hey, like, tell, you know, like, let me, because I'll ask like, hey, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm doing fine. And then I'll read his Twitter and it's like all this stuff's going on. And I'm like, dude, like, you know, we're dating, like, let me know what's happening. But he's just so used to posting everything that's going on in his life on Twitter. And he's not used to talking to people about that.
And it's kind of funny, like a lot of people, they use that as a way to express what's happening in their life. And so if you don't miss a post, it's like sometimes you miss out on things and they're mad at you. And you're like, well, I posted it on Facebook. I'm like I see everything you post on Facebook.
My sister does this to me all the time. And I'm just like, you don't even know anything that I do.
You know,
but I'm somehow expected to be on top of it, you know, be like a journalist. And my only beat is your fucking... you know, snacks that you had for lunch.
Yeah, like you're supposed to just get an update every single time that sends it directly to your phone and you look at it and go like, oh, okay, good to know. Like, yeah, it's, I don't do that with anybody.
Where are we going to be? Like, where's this taking us as socially? I mean, it feels like, you know, there was this idea that you're going to become famous for 15 minutes. And I think we're starting to change our idea of success.
Yeah. Right?
So the idea is not necessarily to have money or even have a lot of fans. It's success to me means growing as a person and and always feeling like you're able to improve at what you want to be passionate and want to do in life. And sometimes, you know, millions of people will watch it and sometimes a handful of people will watch it. You know,
yeah.
Mark and I ran into this listener at the gym who was wearing a Feast of Fun t-shirt.
Oh, that's cool.
Shout out to you, Kevin.
And Kevin, and I was just like,
great job,
I was
Kevin.
So touched by that because I was like, this guy has been listening to our show forever and ever, you know? And he was like, you know, I really like what you guys do. I've never heard of Kevin before. I've never seen him. But he felt that it was, he loved the podcast so much that he was wearing a Feast of Fun logo t-shirt at the gym. And he says that sometimes he uses it to get dick.
Because it's like, he goes, I use it, I wear it when I don't have my my social apps on.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
People recognize me as a homosexual.
And so he has a personal trainer that has the weird habit of, instead of learning the names of his clients, he just refers them to what the shirt is saying. So he calls them Feast of Fun all the time. Hey, Feast of Fun, do some push-ups. Hey, Feast of Fun, do some crunches, man. Come on, one more set.
That's adorable.
And, you know, he says he wants to get a Hunty t-shirt, so his personal trainer calls him Hunty.
Do it. You can get that at feastoffun.com/store.
Not to make this a circle jerk of fun, but the queer gaming convention that I went to in Austin, I talked about last time I was on here.
And you've been to that since
The first day that I was there, one of the people who was working the convention came up to me and said that they were excited to see me because they had heard me on Feast of Fun a bunch.
Oh,
and they liked me on here. Yeah, his name's Juan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you have sex with him?
No. We didn't hang out all weekend. He's very
rude,
nice. He's a really cool guy.
He
was a really cool guy.
Rude person.
Because he was helping helping out with the celebrities, and I was sitting next to the celebrity tables. So I ended up hanging out with him a bunch because he was right there. It was really cool.
And this is the thing, like, celebrities are people who we have many ideas of what a celebrity is, but, you know, the Associated Press defines it as somebody who's making a shitload of money and has lots of fans and is, you know, busy with their careers and, you know, making a lot of films or touring a lot or putting out a lot of albums. And you look at a lot of celebrities' social media presence and they're just full of what could be interpreted as a right wing bullshit rhetoric. And it's not necessarily like, you know, so obvious, like, you know, we need to build a wall and keep those Mexicans out. It's a little more subtle. And so these kids started this what is that, a subreddit called Twitlor, what is it, Mark? It's a Twitlor Swift.
It is called Tadolf Swiftler.
Tadolf Swiftler.
So it's pictures of Hitler with quotes by Taylor Swift, because you know Hitler was a writer, and so he did come up with some quotes. And somebody recently used, there was a quote of Hitler that was used in a yearbook, and yeah. So people had to apologize because they're like, you know, it sounded like a good quote or something like, "Hey, if you want to be bright like the sun, you have to burn like one too."
And that sounds like, you know, you have to crush the world. Mm-hmm. If you want to shine brightly like the sun, you have to burn the world like the sun does.
I do need to put it on the record that calling Adolf Hitler a writer is very generous. As somebody
called Mein Kampf.
I know,
right?
But as somebody who has had to read that book several times and runs a podcast about books, I do have to say it is very polite to call him a writer because that book is terribly written.
Well, let's clarify something.
It's boring.
He may be a writer. He may not be a great writer or a good writer.
Everyone's a writer at that point, then.
Well, that's the point, right?
Fine.
That we're human beings.
Fine.
We put words on paper.
Point to Hitler, then.
Okay, so here are some of... you could decide whether this is a Hitler quote or a Taylor Swift.
There better be some real Hitler quotes in there.
I don't know. This one says, "Just be yourself. There's no one better than you." Hitler said that.
No, he didn't.
Now she's just ripping off Oscar Wilde.
Fearless is getting back up and fighting for what you want over and over again, even though every time you've tried before, you've lost.
See, that actually does sound like a Hitler quote.
Words build bridges into unexplored regions. Hitler or Swiftler?
That also sounds like Hitler.
That is Hitler.
Okay. I was like, that actually does sound like Hitler.
In a relationship, each person should support the other. They should lift each other up.
Tammy Faye Baker.
I don't even know what that says.
You don't know Tammy Faye Baker?
Relationships are like traffic lights. And I just have a theory that I can only exist in a relationship if it's a green light.
Definitely Hitler.
Yeah. Strength lies not in defense, but in attack.
Just hold your head like a hero on a history book page. It was the end of a decade, but the start of an age.
That sounds like Hitler.
Anyone who sees and paints a sky green and fields blue ought to be sterilized. Taylor Swift or Hitler?
That really could go either way.
The day of individual happiness has passed.
Bob Ross.
So this is the thing. It's like, you know, these young kids who are putting all this stuff, they don't understand the darkness, the tragedy of the rise of fascism in Europe around World War II, the Holocaust and Hitler and Mussolini. And, you know, what we're experiencing here in the United States, it could go in that direction. And it's really terrifying and saddening.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. You know, there's some thought pieces out there that just say, listen, it's like, you know, Trump's in power and yes, these conservatives are there. But this is really, in many ways, a last gasp for some of these people. And that, you know, the United States is not going to fall into fascism because we have too much diversity. You know, half our population is women. Mm-hmm. We have so many people of color, minorities and people from foreign countries that it's just the idea that white nationalists will reign supreme in this country is just it's over.
We actually just talked about this on my podcast. One of the big differences between 1940s Germany and America, I'm not saying it's impossible to happen here, but one of the bigger difference is the internet, because access to information, as we see in like China and Korea, is really the difference between like falling completely to a fascist regime and totalitarianism. Is once you get rid of the information and the ability to access the information, then that's when it really gets dark.
But they're totally manipulating the information, as we see with these Russian hacks.
We still have access to the real information. If they were only giving us Russian hack information and we weren't getting CNN, we didn't have the actual free press still existing next to it. It's about fighting back the fake news stuff, but the fact that we still have the real news and it's not state controlled propaganda only.
That's another instant block if you're sharing fake news.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, you're gone.
Definitely. Although sometimes I do. There's one crazy person I know that I love going to his page just to look at all of the crazy fake news that
Believe me, there are some pages I go and look at, but I don't follow.
And I'm a big person who posts aphorisms. But I try to make the aphorisms be more of guiding people away from obsession with greed, with you know, all that glitters isn't gold and money. And I want to inspire altruism and kindness and generosity in others.
Yeah, definitely.
And the problem with aphorisms is they state something obvious.
Sure.
They work because they're catchy and humorous, but ultimately it's like, it's something we can all agree on. And so the celebrity that uses these aphorisms, you know, like, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Well, of course, everybody's going to agree with that, you know?
Right.
But the dark way, the dark side of that is that the problem, the idea stems from the unnatural state of celebrity. The artist attributes their success as the sole result of their determination. Mm. And so you have a solitary figure who implicitly attributes failure to lack of desire and blames the individual when things go against them.
Right. It's the bootstrapping thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if you're failing, it's because you're not trying hard enough, not that there's like a systemic pressure against you to be able to succeed. Yeah.
And I think, you know, Taylor Swift and RuPaul have the best of intentions, and they're artists who want to make the world a better place. And I think like Katy Perry with bringing all these drag queens onto Saturday Night Live, I think she really was sincere on wanting to expand people's minds. And now you have some other drag queens that were not included who are posting all this shady shit online. Mm-hmm. Even though they make six figures a year and they're getting all these gigs, they can't stand the idea of somebody who was not on RuPaul's Drag Race getting on Saturday Night Live and getting 4 milliseconds of attention from Katy Perry and the TV.
So you're talking Violet Chachki.
Or there's a bunch of other ones out there. Yeah. And I'm just like,
Violet's the one I saw.
It's petty.
She was like, oh, I hope these girls got paid, questioning whether they got paid or not. I think if you go on television, you have to get paid.
They all got paid.
And so you have to get paid some kind of scale, I believe, to go on there. And so, and that's just kind of like one of those disses because, you know, they didn't pick her.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, it's
there was also some question, I guess, out there as to whether like they were wanted for the second act because this Migos, whether like there may have been some homophobic things or not. We don't know.
And now there's doubts that even happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, it didn't even take place. And this is just gossip. And it's starting and it's coming from the same people who were jealous that they didn't get invited to the party.
Right. Mm. Well, it's an old rhetorical tactic of raising questions or saying things you didn't say. So like, I would never say that this person is a monster and because everyone's thinking that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to point out that everyone thinks that this person's a monster. Like, you do, it's this kind of trick of, I never said that, or I'm just raising questions. Like, I wonder, because Violet's not saying they didn't get paid. She's saying, I wonder if they even got paid. Because then if it turns out they did, she's still not wrong. Because she was just, I'm just asking questions. I'm just putting it out there.
And the thing about it is that Violet is young. She's making her way through the world. She has good intentions and she has a good heart. And maybe she is jealous and she's just not thinking clearly about the ramifications of that tweet. And ultimately, we should not ever judge a person based on a post or a tweet or anything. Judge them by the totality of their work. Mm-hmm. So on to the all-time feud, because when I run into somebody or somebody has a beef with me, I pick up the phone and try to talk with them.
I do too.
You know, but these artists and these entertainers are like cats that, you know, won't they cooperate.
Well, they're also islands unto themselves. Like, once you become a big enough celebrity, you're your own creation.
Well, before you get into that, though, I do want to point out one thing that we talked about when you're talking about these aphorisms and these people that are attributing all my hard work and everything I did to get to the top is, like, let's do a shout out to Cher, who at 71 just got a Lifetime Achievement Award from like the Billboard Awards. And she was up there just saying, hey, listen, my mother told me I was special. She told me I wasn't the best singer, best looking person out there. And then I met Sonny, and he told me I was also very special. But I have to tell you, the only reason why I'm here today is because it was an extraordinary amount of luck. I'm super lucky to be here, and it was one lucky thing after another lucky thing after another lucky thing.
Right.
And that's important for people to realize there's so much luck involved in this. But of course, you still have to work hard, but people that do work hard don't always win.
And that's what that's kind of what Fausto was alluding to earlier. And that's what the problem is with like celebrity culture and celebrity autobiographies is it's this confirmation bias thing of the people who are successful are the ones that write the books. And so then it like everybody who has failed doesn't write a book about their failure on it. And you go, yeah, there were a ton of other people who weren't Cher. You know, there were a ton of other Chers out there that didn't become Cher.
And certainly it was a video blogger. Tyler Oakley came under a lot of attack because he was very much like, oh, I built this channel all by myself, and it's just amazing that I'm able to do this, and I worked so hard at it. And a lot of people of color really took him to task. They're like, well, listen, you come from a place of extreme privilege. You know, you come from a well-off family. You went to a good school. You're a white guy, and so you have all these things in your favor. And he's just like, nope, none of that mattered. Now, eventually, he was able to see the errors of his ways. He's like, yes, I do come from a place of privilege.
Yeah, it's like the whole small business thing of like, yeah, but you know, who pays for the roads?
Yeah.
You know, who like the truckers bring the things? Like, who are these? Like the unions, like the truckers bring materials to your business. The roads bring the customers. Like the government helps other people help you build a business. Even if you bootstrap an entire, you know, oil industry on your back, there were other people working with you just because you were the point person.
I mean, you know, think about the 13 years we've done this podcast and how close we've come to having to stop doing it because there was no money to do it. And we were like dead broke and neck deep in debt. And it was the audience, the people who listened to the show, that pitched together and got us moving forward. And, you know, that is, if that's not luck, if that's not relying on the goodwill of people you've never met, that you've never even interacted with, who out of the darkest corners of the internet rise up and say, you know what? You matter so much to me that I'm going to make a difference and allow you to continue doing this project that you love because I love what you do. And I wish that every artist out there could have that experience because this is my new aphorism. May success come to you in a slow, difficult pace.
Yeah.
So when you actually get there, your wisdom has grown at the same speed as your success.
Right. Well, because a lot of that is internet culture. Like we want it now. There's an immediacy. If you're not, because we have such younger and younger celebrities, and so when you're trying to do any kind of field in entertainment, especially, you look at all these like younger 20s, and you're like, I'm so old. And I mean, I get this a lot where I'm like,
you're old.
I'm 28. I feel like I'm old, and I feel like I've missed a lot of chances and opportunities, and I really haven't.
You'll never be on the CW.
Yeah. I mean, not like that was going to work for me anyway, but like, yeah, I mean, there are so many people who make it in their 40s and 50s who have like changed culture. There's so many people who make it even later than that. And it's not about the time, but it's about when you're prepared for it and how invested you are in the actual work when it gets there, because you can get famous real quick. It's not hard, really. If you really think about it, it is not that hard to become famous really quickly. It's about what you do with it, and it's about how long it lasts and what you do with the actual aspect.
So Katy Perry has finally come forward and talked about her feud with Tadolf Swiftler. I mean, what the hell is her name now? Taylor Swift. Thank you.
T-Swift. You can just call her T-Swift for short.
T-Swift.
Taylor Swift and Katy Perry, I guess, have had this feud, right?
Yeah.
And so she went on James Condren's show. James Condren's a talk show host.
Corden.
Who, what was his name?
Corden.
James Corden, yes. What did I say? I'm sorry.
Condren.
So James Corden has a talk show. And he drives people around, sort of like Jerry Seinfeld and comedians riding around
and
getting
cars
coffee
with RuPaul.
With RuPaul, yeah. And you know, RuPaul stole the idea and so on.
Yeah.
And now T.S. Madison's using the idea to do her
talk show. It's trickled down YouTube.
So now people are sort of interviewing. I guess the car is a good place to interview people.
Yeah. Or? Well, James Corden's been doing it for a while. Like the first one he ever did was with George Michael.
But it was Jerry Seinfeld, the pioneer, who came up with that idea. So he's driving around Katy Perry, and the her feud with Taylor Swift comes up. And I guess that song, da-da-da-da-da, Bad Blood. Taylor Swift wrote that song in response to fighting with Katy Perry. It turns out that Katy Perry has given a lot of backup dancers a break. And they so now start getting all these gigs in industry. And so when they were signing up with Taylor Swift, Katy Perry said, make sure you put in your contract that you can get out of it. If I go back on tour, you can come dance with me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she started going back on tour, and she asked the dancers if they could, you know, contact Taylor Swift's management and say, hey, you know, we need you over here. And Taylor Swift's management responded by firing them. And so Katy Perry's like, well, this is not good. So she picked up the phone, called Taylor Swift, and Taylor Swift ghosted her. Just no connection. And these are two entertainers who had, you know, some communication together. Mm-hmm. And Katy Perry said in the interview, women together will heal the world. And of course, James Corden said, well, will you forgive Taylor Swift if she texts you, the beef is off the grill?
I like that. The beef is off the grill and into my mouth.
So what's going on? What do you read between the lines here, Mark? You're pretty good at picking up between what's really going on.
So Katy Perry's got a bunch of dancers who wanted to work for Taylor Swift during the down period. But then she said, hey, if I go back on tour, you know, make sure you you can come back. And so you can get out of your contract with them. And I guess they weren't liking it. And they're just like, we'll just fire you. Mm-hmm. And because I guess, you know, if you want to have backup dancers and if you want to tour, because I don't know how often she tours, but you want to keep some of these people around, especially if they're good dancers. Sometimes they're hard to come by.
Or if you just like them.
Or you just like
or
them.
Or you get used to working
with
them.
They bring the good drugs, or they know where all the good parties are, or they fuck you real good. You know.
I was so genuinely just like, yeah, like they hang out on the bus together and talk. Like, that was what I was thinking. That's how
they do actually hang out on the bus together and talk.
In a whole level.
You saw the documentary at Truth or Dare with Madonna. Those interactions were all sincere.
Or the documentary Spice World with the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very similar.
Totally real.
Yeah.
Everything was so real.
I can see kind of both sides of the coin on this one, where I'm like, yeah, I could understand that it's really, it would be stressful if you had trained and prepared all these dancers and then they all, especially if it's a group of them, are like leaving to go do another show and you've got to find some people to replace them suddenly. That's some extra work in there. So I can kind of get that as far as I'm understanding the situation. Mm-hmm. But I also, I understand that Katy Perry tried to call, if this is true, that Katy Perry tried to call Taylor Swift and have a conversation about it, and there was no conversation to be had, then that's a little, that's kind of shitty. So, I don't know.
And there are because there was somebody bringing up recently, can I spill a little bit of tea here? Okay. So, from what I understand, we're all big fans of that minis, or the web series called Dragula, right? And it's a competition of these drag queens in LA, and they're looking for the next drag super monster. And from what I understand, you know, the guys from the Boulay brothers, the guys behind Dragula, made the girls who were going to be in this video contest, they, you know, this was a promotion piece for the girls that are performing in their weekly, or is it monthly show, Dragula, right?
I'm not sure. It's an ongoing
show. Yeah. And so they're taking it to tour to Australia. And so they asked the girls, like, if you want to be in our web series, then we don't want you to audition for RuPaul's Drag Race. This is what we heard.
For one year afterwards,
because we're investing our time, we're investing our money in this show, and then if you just run off and do Drag Race, we'll never be able to afford you again. And you won't be available. And this series that we've done is a way to promote our night, and it's a way to promote you. And so we, in order for you to be involved in this, we need to be able to capitalize onto it because we have invested all this money and time into the project. And I think that's fair. But there was other people there
on social media. A lot of the drag queens were
like, that's not fair. They should be able to do what they want, and da 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 da, and just like, well, it's, listen, they had a choice. You either do this and not audition, or not do this, and then you can audition, and maybe you have something. So sometimes it's better, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And so in some ways, this is kind of like that. And maybe,
well, it's really incomprehensible for some people who are big fans of something that somebody might want to be associated with something else. You know, like, they're like, what, you don't want to do, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race? Oh, you're crazy. There's a lot of drag queens out there. They're doing just fine by not being on RuPaul's Drag Race, or, you know, enter, like, if you're an actor, singer, dancer, maybe being a singer at performer at Disneyland isn't the right thing for it's you, like, or Broadway.
Like, Milan is touring with, like, the Four Tops or whatever that is.
How fun.
Or what is that the one that's the touring group of the
Milan
guys?
The drag queen.
Milan the drag queen.
Yeah. But out of drag.
Out of drag. And so that's, you know, it's a career in entertainment.
Probably she's paying her bills. She's probably bills making more money than some of these girls.
Jiggly Caliente, I'm sure.
It's a big problem that I've noticed with, like, friends of mine, too, and we'll talk about it, is that a lot of people forget about the business side of entertainment. Consumers of entertainment forget that it's a real business, and not even that, like, oh, those are actors, but that, like, there's a business. Like, that those people are coworkers. Like, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift are technically coworkers. And so, similarly to, like, so, like, we're like, wow, they have a feud. It's like, yeah, so does, like, you know, so does, like, Tim and Geraldine at The Office. Like, they also have a feud. Like, that's just, that's what happens sometimes in these situations, is that there's work going on. There's contracts being signed. So, same thing with this. It's like, well, but they should be able to do whatever they want. It's like, no, that's, sometimes you take gambles on your career because you sign a contract. Sometimes you take a promotion or you quit because you don't know if you're going to get the promotion. And then you try to find another job somewhere else. And it's like, you might have stuck around another year and gotten that promotion if you hadn't quit and tried to get another job. So that's, it's just work. That's what business is. And people forget that a lot because of the glamour of, like, ooh, entertainment. It's fun.
For the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, they photographed a lot of the actors from the upcoming film, The Last Jedi, and including the late Carrie Fisher, shortly before she passed away. Rest in peace, my queen. So people are talking that actor Oscar Isaac, who plays Poe, is wearing John Boyega's, who plays Finn's, jacket. And that's a...
No, John Boyega is wearing Poe's jacket. Is that right?
No,
that
it's the other way around, because in the movie, Poe gave Finn his jacket.
Oh, okay. So
The Latino guy gave the black guy his jacket. And now the Latino guy is wearing the black guy's jacket.
Switch jackets.
Yes. So they're, like, you know, taking their clothes off, and they're basically like a couple. They're coupling them.
It's a bromance.
It's a sexual bromance, and it's meant to be a subtext. Not necessarily what's going to happen in the movie, but the promotion of Star Wars is using the subconscious homosexuality in order to titillate the fans.
Ooh, to get the gays and the straight women into it, because the straight women love gay romance. They're the biggest consumers of gay porn.
I still
and the creators of it, too. They're the biggest writers of homoerotic / fiction are women. Cisgendered heterosexual women. For some reason, and some of our listeners, like a good 30% of our audience, are cisgender straight women who are listening to this going, what's it like
to be in a three-way with Cody and Mark and Fausto? He giggles
lots
a lot.
Of giggling.
I'm just kidding.
And, you know, so and part of it is, like, you know, like, I'm fascinated with the lives of other people that are not like me. And, and that's why I follow them on social media is because I kind of want to learn about them. And in some ways they're aspirational too. Like, I follow people.
Yes.
Like, if you saw if you go look at my Instagram, Fausto Fornos, you'll see a bunch of pictures of me flexing, and you look at the shit I follow, and you'd be like, God, Fausto, what a moron you are. You know, it's like, what the fuck is all this shit? And I'm like, and to me, it's like, it's, you know, it's something that I use to keep me going when I need a little pick me up.
Yeah. I follow a lot of fitness models for that reason. And I follow The Rock specifically. I like The Rock, but I also I want to be The Rock. So I'm like, so I look at that a lot and I like to just keep up.
I'm guilty of the one thing that I ask our audience never to do.
What's that?
Is if you love something, tell other people about it. And I'm like, there are a few people that I'm friends with or follow on Instagram that I don't want people knowing who they are.
It's a secret relationship.
It's a secret relationship, because if they get too famous, then I lose them as a friend.
Aww.
You know, and I'm like, and I really like them.
Aww. And some of them are really hot.
Okay.
So Pride season is coming up. We're at the end of May now.
Yay.
Next month is June. It is how many years since Stonewall? Stonewall is
69, baby.
What is that? How was the math?
2017 minus 1969.
48? 49 years?
Don't look at me. I'm not math.
Huh? 2017 minus
52. So
1969 equals 48.
It's also my birthday, June 28th.
Did you know you can just type into the search bar in any modern web browser, yes, a mathematical, mm-hmm, formula, and it answers it for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know.
Just so you know. And so there's always drama around Pride. And so one of the big dramas this year is in the city of Pittsburgh, their Pride Parade. They've sold the naming rights to it. So it is now the EQT Equality March. And the EQT is from their largest corporate sponsor, Equitable Gas.
Oh, my God.
And so now it's like the Equitable Gas Equality March.
No.
So they're saying that Pride is a gas.
Oh, well, God. And it's for sale. You know,
that's
so who's getting all this
that's
money?
Complicated.
Who's getting the money? The people that organized the Pride event. But the thing
is, does it translate to people being able to participate in the Pride parade who normally wouldn't be able to because of the fees?
I don't know how it translates, and I don't know exactly how much they paid for it. But EQT has been, you know, criticized by environmentalists because they have a fracking policy. Also, the company has donated like $10,000 to a Republican state senator.
Ooh. Yeah.
Who said he was disappointed with the Supreme Court stuck down DOMA. And they also gave $7,500 to another one who voted against barring federal contractors from discriminating against LGBT employees.
Cool.
Girl, I won't be celebrating Sharon Needles Day in Pittsburgh for their Pride celebration. Oh, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know how much they paid for it or what's going on, but I'm just like, I hope the Delta Foundation, who runs the parade right now, I hope they grab that money, cash that check, and give them the boot.
Oh, man.
Because that's just not
right. Well, if the Pride organizers cast a check, are they legally obligated to, like, slap
their
pro-fracking, pro-Republican, anti-gay rights message on a gay Pride parade?
And that's the problem with, gays going mainstream now, is that these mainstream organizations are trying to co-opt them.
Well, explain the term co-opt mean, because that sounds like, you know, you're shopping at a grocery store or something.
They're trying to control, like, this whole, you have all these queers from the Three Rivers area all coming down to Pittsburgh for this parade, and so they're trying to influence how these people feel about fracking, about, you know, politics, the use of fossil fuels, about politics, and so they're like, this is a population that for the most part has been kind of left-leaning because they don't really have had many rights since they've had to fight. And so we're trying to influence how they feel. And I feel in some ways it's, you know, sadly, that attack in Manchester at the Ariana Grande concert is that it's that same kind of philosophy where it's, here are people that, you know, these were young girls, gay men, boys at this concert. And so if we can instill terror into them, that's another segment of the population that we'll have that we're trying to influence, because the terrorism, they are trying to influence people.
And so right wing groups use this terrorist attack in Manchester. Mm-hmm. Let's not call it the Ariana Grande terrorist attack, because it sounds like Ariana Grande is the one who's doing the attack. Mm-hmm. And they're using it to basically, you know,
stir up hatred. Right.
Stir up hatred.
Fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And pass anti-women, anti-LGBT legislation. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate tragedy, is those two things come together.
And then go to war, and you just look, President Trump was just in Saudi Arabia and signed a $110 billion arms deal. And so this all kind of plays into the same kind of things, this idea that we're not living in a peaceful world.
Right.
And that attack in Manchester is certainly part of it. And, you know, our hearts go out to Manchester, especially because they have a big gay population there. Many, many gay people were there at the concert when this went down. But also hats off to the Mancunians, who protested. There was a right-wing protest, anti-Muslim protest, and a lot of the liberal people protested against them. They're like, listen, we're not going to live in fear. Right. We're not going to let you dictate these terrible terms to us.
Right? Not in my name, baby.
No, not in my name.
MSNBC, good news, is number one.
Yeah.
Booting Fox News to third.
Yeah, Fox has really fallen.
Rachel Maddow says people are just thirsty for answers. Why is the world falling apart?
Also, Rachel Maddow talking about people being thirsty is it's great.
I'm paraphrasing what she says.
Oh, okay,
she does make cocktails though sometimes. She does. Still does that.
I don't
right?
think. I think
no?
she's. I think she's too sad these days to do
I
that anymore.
I think, you know, you have a bucket list. Just tasting one of Rachel Maddow's cocktails. something with ginger and maybe like grape juice and lime. I bet that would be so delicious.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say sleeping with Rachel Maddow.
No.
I would sleep with Rachel Maddow.
You would?
Oh, yeah. You're so kinky.
She's hot.
You're planning to move to LA and you're
at the end of the year,
planning to take a bunch of acting classes. You're becoming a mime.
But I wanted to be a mime when I was a kid. That was one of my career goals.
You're making me look, you know, like very normal compared to.
Yeah, I can't stop talking. I can't be a mime.
You can't shut the fuck up.
That's my problem.
The talking mime.
Yeah. So you're a mime.
I'm the mime that cusses.
You're taking like the Meisner technique.
It's no acting. It's a method. It's a type of method acting.
That's called. I think that's the Meisner technique.
No, Meisner. Meisner's or the different. Method. It's a different thing.
It's the Dustin Hoffman where you're thinking about your dog who died. And
it's not
that's
exactly
why you're crying.
Dustin Hoffman, but yes, but kind of similar. Yeah, okay. But Dustin Hoffman's like a different type of method.
Can you do
acting.
That right now? Can you cry on cue?
I could. I don't want to.
I want to see you cry.
I want to see you cry.
I really don't want to. That's not going to be.
Do you need me to hold up a
it's
mirror?
It's not going
to
be fun for.
I'll just punch you
audio.
In the nuts.
That's not fun for audio. The visual of me crying is not a fun.
Is my
audio
entertainment
thing.
Not worthy?
We'll do it after the show. I'll cry after the show.
I want to see you cry.
Like, I cried on the stairs this morning.
You did?
But that was just personal.
You're like, I'm laughing and crying.
Yeah. Yep.
No, but so you can actually, you're training yourself so you can memorize 30 pages of dialogue and cry on cue. Because that's basically what actors have to do.
Yes.
Everybody
stand
else
places.
Can, you know.
Stand places that you've been pointed to.
Yeah,
that's another big one.
That's easy to do.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, I have no idea what's going on.
No, like I know people who like cannot hit marks like it's and for the to save their lives. I actually know somebody who got fired off of a set because they could not. They kept because on television and like film stuff, they are racking focus to like the point you step
on. Of course.
So if you
there's
if
an
you,
axe on the fucking floor.
But
stand
if you
there.
Miss it like a half an inch or an inch, sometimes you are completely ruining the shot. And so you like, you do have to really hit it.
Your curse is forever in hell to have to direct somebody who won't stand in the mark. And I got to tell you, you know, if you want to be a better actor, if you want to get over the pain of being rejected in an audition, all you got to do is be in the situation where you have to cast people for a play.
Oh, sure.
And suddenly you're like, okay, when somebody says no to me, it's not because they have something against me personally. It's just they're like looking for the specific ingredients to make their casserole, and I just happen to be asparagus, and they wanted broccoli.
One of my teachers today literally said that. Well, not the whole casserole analogy, but the same.
You're more
thing
like chicken, and they wanted you know ground beef.
Why can't I think I'm like a steak. Come on, like I'm steak.
I don't go that far.
Okay, well, yeah,
you're more like ground turkey.
Salisbury.
I'll take ground turkey, I guess. I'm just gonna go sit in the corner.
Which ingredient is Cody Melcher? Weigh in.
Call in now.
I think it's more like nuts. Macadamia nuts. Those fancy ones.
Can I be chocolate roasted almonds?
No.
Oh.
So you're taking acting classes.
Yes. Yes.
You're taking Pilates, jazz.
I'm also taking voiceover. I'm taking guitar. I was taking tap. But I had too much going on.
You know, the show's called Feast of Fun, not Feast of Classes.
You're the one
show girls.
I like learning new things, and I like having a lot of tools in my belt. Mm-hmm. But I don't actually own a tool belt. It's a box. It's a toolbox. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the Feast of Fun friend of the show, we were talking about the claw machines, right, the other day, because they...
Prometheus Part 2.
There was a little claw machine.
Get funky in space with gay robots.
I like playing claw machines, and they just rehabbed them. They made people, like, fix them so they're not rigged anymore. I don't know if it's taken
place
totally
yet
or
rigged.
Not. But Percival Cornelius wrote on our Facebook friend of the show, he said, the claw machines are really big here in China. One man operator put live kittens inside.
Oh my god.
Thankfully,
oh my
after
god.
Pics were posted and the public shamed, he took them out.
Oh my god.
But animal treatment has a long way to go in the Middle Kingdom.
Oh my god.
I know, isn't that wild?
You guys should get a claw machine here.
Percival wants
us to play it.
And like yeah, and you can put merch
house?
In it. Mm-hmm. You could put Feast of Fun merch in the machine.
Oh my god, and guests could come over and they could put a dollar in and play.
Yeah.
And be like, this game's rigged.
So it's a good way to like pull in money out of the guests.
It's a secondary income source.
That would be a good idea.
Or you could try to like talk to one of the local bars and like try to put a Feast of Fun like claw machine in with merch.
And then,
that'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, why is no one playing this game?
I'd play it.
You want to win?
I'd play it. I want one of those latte shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Cody, this'll be good. Cody, what are you doing for Pride? What's your big Pride events?
I'm actually emceeing the Crossroads Comedy Stage at Indianapolis Pride on June 10th.
Oh, wow.
So I'll be emceeing out there. So if you live near Indianapolis or you're going to Indianapolis Pride, come hang out.
Because Indiana is the crossroads of the nation.
Is that why it's called that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's the comedy
festival.
But
you have to be very careful, though, because in voodoo, that's where the demons live. They live in the crossroads.
Indiana? Oh. I thought you were just saying Indiana. Crossroads. I was like, I thought the governor
Pence
moved.
Mike Pence is from Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah. The governor moved, so the demon doesn't live there anymore. But
you think there's only one demon in a crossroad?
There's a lot.
But did you see the movie Crossroads with Ralph Macchio?
Wasn't Britney Spears' movie called Crossroads as well?
I think that's the same movie. They were both in it.
I didn't pay attention to Ralph Macchio being there.
Ralph Macchio plays a struggling blues musician who does a deal with the devil.
No, Ralph, I think that's Macchio? A different Britney Spears movie.
Crossroads, Ralph Macchio. Yeah, that's exactly what the movie is about. I can't believe that I know that.
Was that the Britney Spears one?
It's a coming-of-age musical drama film inspired by the legends of blues musician Robert Johnson.
Oh, yeah, the devil and Robert Johnson.
And he basically does a deal with the devil to play the blues, baby! I got your soul now, son! That's basically the movie.
Have fun in Indiana.
Thank you. Yeah, it's gonna be a blast. I'm super excited. I haven't done a Pride since Milwaukee like 2 years
Just
ago, so I'm looking forward to it.
Whatever you do, don't get a slice of pizza.
Oh boy. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
What's coming up on Feast of Fun, baby?
We have Zach Stafford coming up. I think that's going to be next week on the podcast. We also have big names returning for the month of June. I'm not going to announce them because when you announce them, then they cancel on you for whatever reason. Mm. I think people just, I don't know.
They're like, you're going to have me on the show? Well, I'm going to teach you a lesson.
And it's going to be like this.
If you canceling on us on the show, I want to see you in a hospital bed in a cast.
Mm-hmm. Just like a selfie of it?
Yeah.
I want a picture of that if you're going to cancel.
You know, because I'm like, I got to, when I work at the bakery and all the customers come in and get a loaf of bread, they're always sneezing on me.
Gross.
And I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm surprised I don't catch more colds.
Right. I think about that one on the bus all the time.
Yeah. It's like, I'm actually, as you get older, this is one good thing about getting older.
Mm.
You get into the sweet spot. Where you've been exposed to so many colds and so many flus, you don't catch them as often.
Yeah.
And then you start aging again, and then you start catching more colds and more colds until you're dead.
Really looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's called life. It's called life. Welcome to it, Cody Melcher. I'm sorry, I said Coldy.
Corgi Melcher.
Corky.
Corgi Melcher.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support, so if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus and get your Pride t-shirts at feastoffun.com/store. We've got a Feliz Pride t-shirt with some Dia de los Muertos. Did I say it right?
You got it right,
skulls,
baby.
That was good.
Muertos. Rainbow colors.
Yes.
Rainbow.
Inspired by all the great Latino actors in Star Trek. That's Roxanne Dawson, who played Belana Torres, and the guy who played Chakotay. What was his name? Chakotay.
It doesn't matter.
Chakotay actor.
He's also in
Robert Bertrand.
He's also in Big Love.
Roberto Beltran.
Yeah.
Also known as Robert Beltran.
He's also in Big Love.
Oh, he was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he played one of those,
played the Native American casino guy who made making a deal.
Right, that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Who got horny because he saw the
Big Love. Yeah.
Yeah, Big Love.
Cody, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. It was always a fun.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.